This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Miranda had worked in the same office building for almost 4 years, which was long enough for her mornings to stop feeling like choices and start feeling like instinct. She parked in the same section of the garage, used the same side entrance, and timed her arrival closely enough that she usually caught the same elevator with the same small group of people. None of it had been planned, at least not in the beginning. It had simply settled into place the way routines do when life repeats itself often enough. The people became part of that routine, too. Most of them were familiar in the way strangers can become familiar when you see them at the same time every day. Miranda didn't know their names, didn't know where most of them worked, and probably wouldn't have recognized them outside the building, but she noticed them all the same. There was a man who always stood too close to the doors, no matter how much room was available. There was a woman with a sharp little cough she made before every elevator ride, as predictable as a clock ticking. There was a group from one of the upper floors who always arrived together, always quiet until the doors closed and then started talking, just as everyone was trapped in the same small space with them. Miranda never thought much about any of them. That was why she noticed the other woman, and it wasn't because the woman was loud or dramatic or did anything to pull attention toward herself. If anything, it was the opposite. She carried herself in a way that suggested she preferred not to be noticed at all. She stood off to the side with her bag tucked close under one arm, and she always seemed to position herself just far enough from everyone else that no one could accuse her of taking up too much room. But she watched people, not openly, not in a way that would make anyone uncomfortable if they happened to catch her looking. It was more subtle than that. Miranda would glance up and have the strange impression that the woman had already taken in the entire elevator before Miranda had even stepped inside. The effect was so slight that Miranda dismissed it the first few times she noticed it. Everyone has little habits, she told herself. Maybe that was simply hers. After a while, the woman became part of the pattern like everything else. Miranda expected to see her on certain mornings and noticed when she wasn't there, even though there was no real reason it should have mattered. The woman usually boarded before Miranda did and got off several floors below her, somewhere in the middle of the building. The doors would open, she would step out without hesitation, and Miranda would continue upward. They never spoke. There wasn't any reason they would. They didn't work together, didn't linger in the lobby, didn't share the kind of overlap that naturally turns repeated proximity into conversation. They simply occupied the same narrow stretch of time every morning and then disappeared into different parts of the building. That was why the thought made no sense. It came on a morning that felt exactly like every other one. Miranda stepped into the elevator with coffee in one hand and her badge clipped against her bag, nodded automatically when someone shifted to make room for her, and moved toward the back as the doors slid shut. She was half awake in the way people often are when they've started the day but haven't fully arrived inside it yet, and her mind was somewhere between the emails she expected to find waiting for her and the meeting she had later that morning. The woman was already there, standing in her usual place. Miranda saw her, recognized her without really thinking about it, and then the elevator started to move. The thought hit so suddenly that, for a second, she honestly wondered whether someone had spoken out loud. It wasn't a vague feeling or a passing flicker of worry. It wasn't even the kind of dark, random thought people dismiss before they've fully registered it. It came fully formed, sharp and specific, and so far outside the path of her own thinking that it felt less like something she had thought and more like something she had heard. That woman was not going to leave the building one day, not in the way everyone else would. There was no image attached to it, no cinematic sequence of events, no elaborate vision, just certainty. A clean, horrible certainty that something would happen within those walls, and that the woman would not simply walk back out the way she had walked in. The moment lasted no more than a second, but it was enough to make Miranda go still. The elevator continued upward with its usual quiet hum. Someone near the front shifted their weight. Another person glanced down at a phone. No one reacted. No one looked unsettled. The ordinariness of everything around her made the thought feel even more foreign, as though something impossible had been dropped into a completely normal moment and then left there for her alone to deal with. Miranda stared straight ahead, suddenly far more awake than she had been a second earlier. Where did that come from? She tried to catch the thought and turn it over before it slipped away, but it had arrived too fast and too whole to be traced back to anything sensible. There had been no conversation leading into it, no news story on her phone, no memory or association that might have explained why her mind would land on something that specific about a woman she didn't know at all. She was simply there, standing where she always stood, looking exactly as she always looked. And then that sentence had existed in Miranda's head as clearly as if someone had placed it there. Carefully, without wanting to be obvious, Miranda glanced in the woman's direction. Nothing had changed. She was still facing forward with the same contained posture, one hand wrapped around the strap of her bag, her expression unreadable in the mirrored shine of the elevator door. There was nothing fragile about her, nothing dramatic, nothing that suggested anything at all. She looked like someone who had somewhere to be and would get there in a matter of seconds, which somehow made the thought worse. Miranda tried to laugh at herself inwardly, but even that didn't work. The discomfort was too immediate. It felt intrusive, almost inappropriate, as though she had crossed some invisible line simply by thinking it. Her first instinct was to reject it completely, to push it away, and remind herself that minds do strange things all the time. People imagine accidents, illnesses, disasters, and all kinds of nonsense for no reason. Brains misfire. Anxiety takes odd shapes. None of that means anything. By the time the elevator slowed and the doors opened on the woman's floor, Miranda had almost convinced herself of that. The woman stepped out, disappeared into the hallway without a backward glance, and the doors closed again. Everything resumed. By the time Miranda reached her own floor, it had already started to blur at the edges. The raw certainty was fading, leaving behind only the memory of how strange it had felt. She stepped out into the hallway, adjusted her bag, and let the rhythm of the workday absorb her. For a few hours, it did. Emails, meetings, a conversation with her manager, a spreadsheet that had to be fixed before lunch. None of it left much room for the kind of thought she didn't want to revisit anyway. But later, when things quieted for a few minutes and she leaned back from her computer to rest her eyes, it came back in a different form. Not with the same force and not with the same words, but as the lingering realization that the thought had not felt like imagination. That was what unsettled her most. It hadn't been her mind wandering into some dramatic possibility. It had not felt built out of fear or worry or even curiosity. It had felt given, arrived, set in place, whole. She sat with that feeling longer than she wanted to, then finally shoved her chair back in and returned to work, deciding that the smartest thing she could do was let it pass. The next morning, she almost managed to forget about it. Almost. She went through the same motions she always did, crossed the lobby, reached the elevators, and stepped inside just as the doors were beginning to close. The woman was already there. It was astonishing how quickly the memory returned. Miranda didn't stare, but she felt her awareness sharpen in a way that hadn't happened before. Everything about the woman seemed more defined than it had on earlier mornings. Miranda noticed the slight way she shifted her weight when the elevator slowed, the way she tightened her grip on her bag, as though bracing for the stop before it happened, the way her eyes lifted toward the numbers above the door, not because she seemed nervous, but because she already knew which floor was coming. All of it was ordinary. That was the problem. If the woman had looked distressed or sick or distracted, Miranda could have tied the thought to something real, something visible. But there was nothing. The woman seemed entirely normal, and yet Miranda could not stop noticing her. Now that the thought existed, she forced herself to look away. The elevator stopped. The woman stepped out on her usual floor. Nothing happened. The doors closed and Miranda kept going up. By the time she reached her own office, she felt ridiculous for having let it bother her again. She told herself exactly what she had told herself the day before. It was a weird thought, nothing more. If she fed it too much attention, she would only make it bigger than it deserved to be. That worked until later that afternoon. She had been sent to another floor to retrieve a folder that one department had accidentally delivered to the wrong office. It was the kind of small interruption that broke up the day without meaning much, and she was halfway down the quieter side hallway before she realized why something felt strange. Then she saw her. The woman from the elevator stood near the end of the hall outside an office door, holding a folder against her side while someone inside finished saying something Miranda couldn't quite hear. There was nothing odd about the scene in any objective sense. People stood in hallways all the time. People waited outside offices. People held folders. Still, seeing her there felt jarring in a way Miranda had not expected. Until then, the woman had existed only in that sealed morning ritual, in that narrow stretch of elevator silence where everyone was briefly together and then gone. Seeing her somewhere else made her feel more real and at the same time more difficult to place. Miranda slowed without meaning to. The woman glanced up and their eyes met for only a fraction of a second, not long enough to be meaningful in any normal circumstance, but something in Miranda reacted instantly. It wasn't a full thought this time, and it wasn't as clear as the first one had been. It felt more like the beginning of something, a sudden pressure just behind language, as though another sentence were trying to come through but couldn't quite form itself before dissolving. The sensation vanished almost as soon as it appeared. Miranda kept walking because there was nothing else to do. By the time she reached the corner and turned out of sight, all that remained was the same unsettled impression she had carried since the elevator, a feeling that, whatever this was, it wasn't operating in a way she understood. She tried not to dwell on it, but when the workday ended and she stepped into the elevator to go down, she found herself scanning the small space before she had fully realized she was doing it. The woman wasn't there. The next morning, Miranda noticed her absence again. This time it didn't pass as easily. She told herself it was absurd to assign significance to whether a stranger rode the elevator on schedule. People came in late. People had meetings elsewhere. People took time off, worked from home, arrived through different entrances, chose different elevators. There were countless explanations, and every one of them was more reasonable than the one part of her mind that refused to settle down. Still, the absence stayed with her. It sat beneath the day like background noise, quiet enough that she could work through it, but present enough that it never fully disappeared. She answered emails, attended 2 meetings, ate lunch at her desk, and almost convinced herself she had finally let the whole thing go. Then, sometime in the middle of the afternoon, she heard 2 people talking just outside her office. Their voices were low, casual at first, the sort of conversation that normally melted into the general hum of the floor. Miranda would have ignored it if one phrase had not snagged her attention. "On one of the lower floors," someone said. She didn't react immediately. It could have been anything. A delivery issue, a maintenance problem, some petty office drama she had no interest in. Then the other voice said, "They said she just didn't come back." Miranda's hand stopped on the keyboard. The phrasing was strange enough to pull her attention fully toward it. Not because it was dramatic, but because it was incomplete. It implied an event without naming one, as though whatever had happened had already passed through several versions of retelling and arrived thinned out, uncertain, half understood. "She'd been in earlier," the first voice said. "Someone said they saw her that morning, but after that..." The rest trailed away, too low to catch. Miranda sat very still. She told herself it could be anyone. Buildings like that were full of women no one knew by name. Floors were crowded with people who existed only as faces and fragments of habit. There was no reason, none, to connect that conversation to the woman from the elevator, but the thought had already connected them. A few minutes later, Miranda stood up under the flimsiest possible excuse of needing to stretch her legs and headed toward the elevators. She moved carefully, not wanting to look like she was searching for anything, even though that was exactly what she was doing without admitting it to herself. When the doors opened on one of the lower floors, she didn't get out. She just looked. The hallway beyond was normal in the most unsettling way possible. Lights bright, doors closed, no crowd, no commotion, no obvious evidences that anything had happened there. A man in shirt sleeves walked past carrying a cup of coffee. Somewhere farther down the hall, someone laughed. The scene offered nothing for Miranda to hold on to and nothing to disprove what she had heard. The doors closed again. On the ride down, she found herself thinking not about the overheard conversation, but about the hallway the day before and the instant of eye contact they had shared. That was the moment that kept returning to her now, not because it had revealed anything clear, but because it had felt unfinished. As if whatever had arrived in the elevator had tried one more time to form itself there in the hallway, and then failed. By the time Miranda stepped out of the building that evening, the city looked exactly as it always did. People moved past the entrance in quick, indifferent lines. Cars rolled in and out of the garage. The lobby windows reflected the same pale wash of late afternoon light they reflected every day. Nothing outward had changed. That should have made it easier to dismiss the whole thing. It didn't. Because what stayed with Miranda was not the idea that something had happened. It was the shape of the thought itself, the unmistakable wrongness of how it had arrived. Not imagined, not reasoned out, given. That was the part she couldn't explain and couldn't quite forget. If it had been ordinary fear, it would have dissolved by now. If it had been some random, intrusive thought sparked by stress or lack of sleep, it would have been buried under everything else that crossed her mind in the course of a week. Instead, it remained. Quiet. Stubborn. Waiting in the pauses between other things. Days passed. Then a week. The woman never reappeared. Miranda never asked about her directly because she had no way to do it without sounding unhinged. And because some part of her was afraid of what she might hear if she did. The scraps of conversation she picked up after that were inconsistent enough to be useless. Someone mentioned an ambulance, though not where. Someone else said a woman from one of the lower floors had gone home sick and not come back. Another person insisted it had nothing to do with work at all, and it happened after she left the building. None of it aligned neatly enough to become truth. That ambiguity should have been a relief. Instead, it was almost worse. Had she misunderstood the thought? Had she imposed meaning afterward because she needed the discomfort to point somewhere? Or had something genuinely reached her in that elevator and given her only enough to disturb, not enough to understand? There was no answer to that. So Miranda kept doing what people do when something odd enters their life but doesn't break it apart. She kept going to work. She kept parking in the same place, walking through the same door, taking the same elevator with the same revolving cast of half-familiar faces. From the outside, nothing had changed. Now when the elevator doors opened each morning, Miranda always looked before she stepped in. Not openly, and not in a way anyone else would notice, but enough to take inventory of the people already there. She noticed absences more quickly than she used to. She noticed expressions, postures, little signs of exhaustion or tension she once would have ignored. She noticed how easily a face could become familiar, and how impossible it was to say afterward whether familiarity meant anything at all. Most mornings, the elevator ride was exactly what it had always been, brief, quiet, forgettable. But sometimes, in those sealed moments between floors, with the soft hum of the cables overhead and strangers standing shoulder to shoulder under the fluorescent lights, Miranda felt that same uneasy awareness move at the edge of her mind. Not a full thought, not even a warning. Just the possibility that whatever had happened once might happen again. And when that feeling came, she always asked herself the same question. Not what happened to the woman, not whether the story she overheard had really been about her, but whether that first thought had ever belonged to Miranda at all, because that was the thing that had never settled. The world was full of coincidences, misunderstandings, half-heard conversations, and events people stitched together after the fact because they needed narrative where none existed. She knew that. She believed that. On most days, it was the only explanation she trusted. And yet the feeling remained that, for one brief moment in an ordinary elevator on an ordinary morning, something had moved through her that was not entirely her own. She has never fully shaken that. Even now, she takes the same route she always did. The same garage, the same entrance, the same ride up into a building that, from the outside, looks no different than it ever has. But when the doors open, she no longer sees only who is there. She sees who isn't. And every so often, standing among people whose names she doesn't know and whose lives she will never be part of, Miranda finds herself wondering how many thoughts pass through a person in a day that truly belong to them, and how many arrive from somewhere else entirely, leaving behind only enough certainty to unsettle, never enough to understand.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, S-P-I-N-Q-U-E-S-T.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARD MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.